Disclaimer: the views and opinions you hear on this show are not the opinions of AnimeNewsNetwork.com.
Okay.
From Los Angeles. No, from Tokyo.
Yeah. From Shibuya, to be exact.
From Shibuya, Tokyo, Japan. I'm Justin Savakis.
And I'm Zach Birchie. Welcome to, you know, I'm going to call this the Japan cast, of course. Which, you know what, I didn't
want... the shitty puns, I swear.
I didn't want to, because the way I'd have to spell it, it would have come out the Jap-an cast, which would be bad,
yeah.
I think.
Let's not do that.
So, yeah, we're in Shibuya, and it's a day before Tokyo Anime Fair, so other segments down the line, you might hear us, you know, after the show, during the show, whatever. This podcast is going to be pretty touch and go.
Yeah, but we have no idea how this is going
to
turn out.
But we're super jet lagged, and so we had time to tape a first segment. We've been here for a couple of days now.
Yes, it is now not even 10 in the morning, and we've been up for like 4 hours.
Yeah, and I think this is the earliest we've ever taped a podcast.
Yeah, I'm surprised I'm awake.
Yeah. Well, this is my second time in the country, and it's your
third.
And I have to say, like, coming in, last year I was like, whoa, this is amazing. Like, oh my God, I'm in Japan. This year I'm like, no, Japan.
You're so deadpan, I couldn't even tell.
Well, yeah, I mean, once we got here, and it doesn't help that we're staying in Shibuya, which, as people probably know, is basically Times Square if Times Square were dipped in a molten hot vat of Japanese fashion magazines.
Right. Everyone here is an uber fashionable teenager.
Yeah, they all dress like they just stepped out of a music video or off of a Japanese fashion magazine ad.
And if they're not dressed like that, they're still in a school uniform.
Oh, and there's millions of them, and they crowd every single inch of pavement. It can barely move. And when we got here, it was a holiday evening.
Yeah, you think that's bad. It's even worse on a Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, we'll be here on Saturday, so...
you're going to want to put a gun on your mouth. I will.
Yeah. No, it's kind of unbearable. I mean, it's neat, and it's cool to see, and you really feel like, you know, oh my God, this is humanity, but getting through all that with our luggage was pretty crappy.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to going back. But at the same time, I have to say... just standing on the corner and just people watching is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone is really pretty.
Yeah, and the people wear really ridiculous outfits. I mean, yeah. The stuff you see people wearing, I mean, it's kind of insane. I mean, even just like the little hats and stuff, it's just like, ugh.
I still don't understand how girls have the big bows here. It just, that always looked retarded to me.
Yeah, I don't get it either. A lot of it just, I mean... There's a reason people make fun of, you know, that's where the term fashion victim comes from.
Japan.
Yeah, well, that's not necessarily Japan, but like someone who's wearing something that looks utterly ridiculous, but they're wearing it because it's in style, according to like 10 people
right.
who happen to write for magazines. But yeah, so it's like wandering around in an ad for, I don't know, a cosmetics ad maybe. So what did we do yesterday?
We shopped like crazy yesterday because we didn't know if we were going to get time because we're only here a week.
Yeah.
And
only a week, yeah.
Well, we were here too last... every other time I've been here, it's been for 2 weeks.
Yeah, so which is a bit long.
I wouldn't be able to do it again if I just stayed in Tokyo. Maybe if I went somewhere else.
Well, that's part of the problem. I mean, maybe we sound like ingrates. Surely we sound like ingrates. But we are pretty much... Because of Tokyo Anime Fair, mm-hmm. because this is a business trip, mm-hmm. we are just stuck in Tokyo for a week. And for people who haven't been here before...
That's awesome.
And it was awesome last time when it was my first time. But Tokyo really is very westernized. I mean... It's just Manhattan in Japanese with English subtitles. Most of the signs are in English. You will not have a problem getting around if you speak English.
Right.
Many of the clerks and cashiers speak English. You can get around. It's not that tough. Even like the trains take a couple of minutes to figure out. It's not that hard.
Yeah, especially if you've been on a mass transit system before.
So it's kind of like hanging out in New York City, which is cool.
Just everyone is really skinny and short.
Yeah, and nice.
Right.
Everyone's fake nice, but I will take Japanese fake
and the pizza
nice.
Here is shittier.
Yeah, the pizza's really shitty. Although I keep being told to go to Shakey's.
I'm not going to Shakey's. I have no interest in going to Shakey's.
So naturally, like the second thing we did was go to Akihabara.
We needed to buy SD cards.
Yeah.
That is our story, and we're sticking to it.
And the thing I noticed about Akihabara this time was, and again, probably wrong about this, it seemed a little less pervy. Yeah, seemed on the surface. Like, I just didn't, maybe I just glanced by it or didn't notice it, but I didn't see the giant glass case full of, like, hardcore pornography figures.
I'm not sure how much of that to attribute to us being there, A, really early in the morning when not everything was open yet.
Right. Well, but we were there in the early afternoon. And I didn't see it then either.
Yeah. And I have to admit, last time that was a little weird to me, just all that stuff being so out in the open.
Yeah.
I have to wonder if there has been a little attempt to clean it up.
Maybe. Because
the stuff is still there. I mean, we passed the sex toy shop, and there is that one that you took the photo of that is the five floors of porn.
Yeah.
And apparently it's kind of infamous, and the higher up you go, the more disgusting it gets.
So the guy's at the top floor, there's just a federal officer waiting for him.
The first floor is already underage idols.
Yeah, that first floor is pretty bad.
Yeah.
That first floor is like they have a bunch of One Piece figures out in front, and it's like, no, we're normal.
So you wander in, and there's like a 10-year-old in a bikini.
Yeah. And that was where we found the Becky Cruel poster. I didn't post that photo, but that is where we found the Becky Cruel poster.
Becky, if you're listening.
Yeah. No, please get chewed up by the Japanese entertainment industry.
To be forgotten in 5 weeks.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Akihabara. It was fine. It still seems like a fading mecca to me. It really does.
I mean,
as far as I know, like, the nerds don't really hang out there that much anymore, right?
Well, it's out in the open. I mean, one thing I did notice this year that was different from even last year was there is a ton of duty-free shops shouting in English to the customers on the street.
Right, and like a bunch of the Liberties seem to have closed. Liberty being a used shop. It's kind of like Book Off.
I can't tell. I get the half feeling we were wandering down the wrong streets.
Yeah, but it just like, it seemed like things had changed.
Yeah, it did.
You know, there was actual construction going on when we were there. There was a big pile of rubble and some construction machines putting something new up, and a lot of the little camera, some of the camera shops, and like I said, all those duty-free shops, that's clear, like, this is a tourist spot.
Yeah.
Like, the duty-free shops mean it's a tourist spot. None of those were there last year.
It reminded me of all the shitty, overpriced electronics stores in Times Square.
Yeah. We found some pretty cool stuff, I think.
I found some great stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I found Memories on Blu-ray for, like, $35. I was really happy about
that. Yeah, that's really cheap. That's about what you'd pay for it if they ever import it, which they probably won't.
Exactly. And, unfortunately, no subtitles on that, but I'll take care of that when I get back.
Yeah.
and I found this one really nifty OAV that no one really knows about called Bataan. Which,
oh, I thought you were going to mention the other one you bought.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole other one. Bataan's cool. It's Ryuhei Kitamura's and Iwai Shinji's action sci-fi drama that was actually shot live action in Japan in Japanese and was apparently this project to celebrate the anniversary of Yokohama for some reason, but then was cel-shaded in America. So it's kind of this weird American-Japanese hybrid, but all the animation grunt work was done in America instead.
Weird.
But it's really well done. I saw a screening at USC last month. So there was that. I was really happy to get that. And found this Japanese, it's called Megumi. And it's a half-hour long OEV that the Japanese dubbed themselves, always a good sign, about the Japanese getting kidnapped by North Koreans. And apparently this was produced by a government, you know, support agency, and I apparently got completely shafted because they've been giving away this DVD for free and I paid $12 for it.
Well, you didn't know.
I didn't know.
and it's not like you could have gotten it for free.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even know if they still do that anymore, but I skimmed through it, and it's pretty bizarre. It's mostly like worried-looking old people having press conferences.
Sounds great.
It's a conversation piece, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah. No, I just bought some toys. I bought the Automaton, which is this plastic sort of puppet note thing that seemed cooler than it is. It's supposed to be like a theremin, and like you can kind of play it like a theremin. And then you move the little mouth, little plastic mouth. It's cute. I mean, it's a cute little thing. It's just the sound quality is very limited.
It's pretty janky.
Yeah, it's a fun little thing to have.
It's a toy.
It's a fun conversation piece. I won't regret having it on my bookshelf or whatever.
Right.
Then I got to go out and do a little bit more shopping today. But tomorrow is the first day of TAF, and we'll have video and a bunch of other crap up, which will all be up by the time you hear this. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to hitting that show floor. I hope it's not really depressing this year.
It's got the potential.
Last year was already kind of depressing.
It wasn't that bad, though.
Well, it was compared to the year before.
Wow.
Because, like, 2 years ago, Madhouse had this huge booth. Last year, it was like what we do at AX.
Oh, come on.
I'm barely
we don't have a booth at AX. It's a banner and we hide behind a curtain so we can do work.
Yeah, this was like the empty, you know, 10 by 10 space with like a couple posters and a desk.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
And
there's no money. What do you want?
Yeah, I know. Everything's depressed right now.
Well, anyway, you'll find out. We'll have our coverage up. I don't know why I'm teasing it, because this podcast is going to go up way after any of that stuff does. So we'll probably have a few more segments after this. Who knows what you're going to get? I don't even know what you're going
to
get.
So yeah, let's see who we can round up to be on the show.
Yeah, we'll try our best. So, all right, moving on. So we're back. Well, it's been about a week since we taped that first segment.
We're so tired.
Yeah. You know what? And it's not really exhaustion. It's just kind of boredom.
I'm exhausted too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm tired, but I'm not like, I don't know. I'm ready to go home, I think.
It's Japan hangover, really.
I think that's it. Cause we've been in Tokyo now for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
We go home tomorrow blissfully. Actually, we've been in Tokyo more than a week.
Yeah,
we've been in Shibuya specifically for more than a week.
I could so happily go the rest of my life and not spend another minute in an upscale shopping mall.
Yeah, my God, I just you know what the crappy thing is that it sounds like we're ungrateful or whatever. But man, you trap anyone in Manhattan and just Manhattan for a week, they're gonna start going stir crazy.
Yeah. It's like, do I really need another overpriced electronics store?
Yeah,
with people trying to charge me 3.5 times what, you know, this camcorder is worth 10 years ago.
Yeah, they're saying, oh my God, it's another 3-story Dior outlet or whatever. All right, I'm gonna pop open this Mega Man energy drink, which I think I now have had for about a week.
So, any reflections on TAF?
Well, I took some shit from. Ugh. That's not very good at all. It's blue.
Oh, no.
This tastes like warm, melted Otter Pop. Louis Blue Raspberry, specifically.
Ew. I don't know what an Otter Pop is, but that sounds vile.
You know those freeze and eat bars?
Oh, those.
Yeah.
Oh, that is nasty.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, TAF, I took a little shit for... being a little downbeat about it. But ultimately, like, TAF this year seemed a little bit more optimistic than last year.
I was actually kind of walking away with the impression that things might be turning around, if not financially, at least creatively.
Creatively, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Because there's like 3 or 4 shows that are spring season, and the spring preview starts, will be starting around the time you hear this. I'm looking forward to at least like 3 or 4 shows.
There are a really large number of shows I'm looking forward to seeing. There was a huge absence of Moe.
Yeah, not so much Moe. There's a couple of Genion shows that look particularly vile, but other than that, like, I'm looking forward to, yeah, like I said, a handful of stuff, which is more than like last season.
Right. Yeah, it was last season we had Bakken, or we had Durada, and that was it.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah, the show itself, a lot of booths just weren't showing that much new. It was, well, I'd say about a good 20% of the booth space was taken up with Detective Conan.
Yeah, it was at like 6 different booths. I guess it's because it comes out like in a week or two.
Right.
And every production studio, which is most of them that had a hand in that, you know, want to advertise for it. But, yeah, I don't know. It's it was just that, like, TMS's booth specifically, TMS... it was just last year's booth, except a little smaller.
Well, most of the companies simply weren't exhibiting anything new. I mean, there was Puro, who literally told us we don't have anything new right now.
Mm.
You know, TMS, they haven't had much new in a while.
Satellite is just, all they're talking about is relaunching Besquash.
Which, I didn't really get that show was for Otaku before.
It kind of was. There was a lot of fan service.
That's true. It was really fan servicey. It was way too sexualized to be for kids.
Yeah. So I guess now they're going to take that out. And specifically, they said not so much character, more sports action.
Oh, that'll go over really well in America.
Right. So, I mean, you know, maybe they'll make something of it. Maybe they'll make it a little bit more of a commercial property, which makes sense. I mean, it's basketball playing robots, and they have a partnership with Nike. It's going to be a big commercial product.
Well, clearly, though, Otaku are the people who buy sportswear.
Yeah. It's not even like a slashy, like, Fujoshi thing either.
No,
it's like, you know, it's not like Prince of Tennis or anything like that, where there's a whole bunch of pretty boys, you know,
swinging
their balls around.
The whole character designs are Boss Bosh. I just got that. The whole character designs for Boss Bosh originally, I don't know what they have planned remake wise, but the designs were not something that most people would consider attractive to begin with. They weren't fan servicey designs.
They were kind of Frenchy.
Yeah, well, that's a problem. So what else was there? There was a huge Bandai booth that was mostly taken up with Gundam stuff.
Gundam and that 3D thing that they did, the Hipirakun, which really was not impressive.
Well, it's one of those really juvenile shows that no one ever bothered to import here because no one wants it.
Well, it's just that the animation quality is really poor. And while they did a fine job converting it for a 3D television, not so much on the actual animation itself. It's really amateurish animation. So, I mean, yeah, okay, it's for kids, but, I mean, put a little effort, you know? It doesn't look good enough. So, I mean, the other 3D presentations I saw, and I saw a few of them, I saw the Pretty Cure thing where they converted...
Pretty Cure thing.
What they did was they took a closing sequence from the end of one of the previous movies, I think, and converted it into a 3D for a 3D TV.
I see.
And it looked okay. Gonzo actually had the best ones. They converted Last Exile and Blast Rider.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just to show off what they could do.
Right.
And it looked good. I mean, well, Blast Rider looked good. Last Exile looked old. Mm. Really old.
Well, it is old.
It is. It's not CG's that old.
It's like 12 years old.
It's not 12 years old. Last Exile was like 2003.
Okay, so it's 8 years old.
Okay. But maybe still, 2002.
CG has come a long way since then, and let's face it, Last Exile looked a little budget and when it
came out. No, I understand that. It's just, it looks old, and converting it into 3D makes it look even older. Like, it looks like PlayStation 2, early PlayStation 2 cutscenes. So it didn't really work. But Blast Rider looked fine, and as much as I've heard that show sucks, I'd probably, you know, watch a few episodes if I had a 3D TV and that were available. But they specifically told me they're not planning on putting those out in 3D. It was just a demo, but they're working on that 3D TV series for next year, which, good luck, Gonzo.
Speaking of CG, Toei was showing off their 3D versions, rendered versions, not actually 3D TV versions, of Guy King and Captain Harlock.
Yeah, I only saw the Harlock one.
I saw both. And Guy King looked a little... Well, first of all, they both looked pretty impressive.
Yeah, I thought Harlock looked great.
They looked like a... I'm struggling to come up with an American parallel.
They look like Square Enix cutscenes.
Yeah, they look like
Good Square Enix cutscenes.
Right.
Anyway, so that was sort of like it. Like, those were sort of the big... That was sort of the only really super interesting new thing. I mean, everything else is just like TV shows that air this week.
Right.
So, and frankly, it was like that last year, too. It's all just whatever's coming out in the spring, and then...
Yeah,
like,
the artwork isn't even ready for things coming out beyond that.
Yeah, like, Aniplex was the only booth that had their shit together enough to show off stuff that's coming out in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, Kurosuchi 2, or whatever, Black Butler 2.
Right.
And a couple of other sequels, and, you know, some other stuff like that. So, I mean... I don't know. I mean, somebody in the forums mentioned that we should really start going on public day because that's when they have the big events and stuff.
No. I'm never going on public day again as long as I live.
So you've been on public day before.
I've been on public day, and it takes you a half hour to cross the room.
Yeah.
It's so mobbed. It's like going to the Halloween parade on like or like New Year's Eve in Times Square.
Boo.
No, not doing it. And especially not among sweaty otaku.
Who've been waiting outside in front of Big Side all day. You know.
Well, this year it might not have been so bad because at least they wouldn't have been, you know.
It's freezing instead of really hot.
Yeah, God, it is really cold this time.
Yeah, it is.
I maybe I'm a little wussified because I live in LA now, but...
Yeah. I'm impervious to weather for some weird reason. It's cold for me, and I usually am okay in extreme weather conditions, but it's cold enough to make it that I don't really want to go outside, which is a problem.
Yeah.
Because we're out of things to do.
Yeah, Shibuya is fun for like a day.
Shibuya's fun for a few hours.
Yeah.
And then eventually it's like, okay, well...
There are a few shops I always like hitting up here when I'm here, but hitting them up once, not several times in a week.
Yeah, which you wind up doing out of boredom. I think I've been to that book off like 3 times.
Yeah, same here.
Even though I know they're not going to have anything different, but I just don't have anything else to do. And the part of the problem is we have meetings, there's work to do, so it's not like we can take like a day or two trip. You know, it's not like we can get out of the city for any meaningful period of time.
Right.
Which you know, that's sort of the problem. Imagine like, again, you're stuck in Manhattan, you can't go past Brooklyn, and you're stuck there for a week, you can't leave. So what do you do after day 3? You know?
Right. After a while, you realize, oh, yes, it's just a city. People just live here.
Yeah.
You know, we've hooked it up to be this magical place in our heads, but actually it's just a place.
Well, it is magical for like 2 or 3 days.
Right.
And then you're like...
And then you're done finding the shit you've wanted to buy forever, and then you're just like, okay, now I have it. I don't have access to my stuff, and, well, I guess I'll just sit here on my laptop like I usually do.
Yeah, well, not only that, but... And I don't know, maybe it's the economy or whatever, but things do seem a little more expensive this time. So unless I really want to blow hundreds of dollars, you know.
Yeah.
Which I could, but then I'd have to lug all that shit back to the U.S.
I have to say, one thing that's driving me crazy here is that because of the crystal meth problem, that pseudoephedrine's illegal here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I can't get Sudafed. And that's how I sleep.
Uh-oh.
And so as a result, I've gotten this persistent ear infection. Which isn't that bad. It's not painful or anything.
This is just turning into us whining.
Well, no, this is kind of funny, though. This one ear, my left ear, I can hear just fine out of it, except when I'm using earbuds, everything is, like, put through one of those Distorto Kids megaphone filters.
Oh, yeah.
So everything is a little robotic and off-key and whiny sounding.
Ugh. Yeah, maybe we could replicate that with the soundboard here. Do the rest of the podcast like that so people will know what it's like to be you.
Only in one ear.
Yeah. Well, I'll make it a stereo podcast. And
I will say, listening to my iPod on the plane is going to be much fun as a result.
Yeah, that's going to be great. So yesterday we went to Ikebukuro, which was interesting.
Right. It was... I have to say, it was less than what I was expecting.
It was much... I mean, everything's smaller than I expected it to be.
Right.
Like, yesterday I went to Akihabara with our boss, Christopher McDonald, to get some ramen. And we took the subway, which apparently dumps you out on the other side of Akihabara. Mm-hmm. But it's still only, like, 3 blocks back to the JR station.
Yeah.
You know, so these are pretty small areas. And Ikebukuro is small. It's like a road. Like, a road, some stores, and a mall.
Yeah.
And a theater, a big theater.
Yeah, most of the districts here are pretty tiny, and in the case of Ikebukuro or Akiba, anything that's been puffed up by pop culture, you go in there expecting it to be, you know, this giant place of, you know, nerdgasm of some direction. And I guess if I was into yaoi, I would probably have had a nerdgasm in Ikebukuro. However, I'm not into yaoi, mm-hmm. And so I did not.
You're not? Yeah, I don't know. And it's funny because, like, you know, I'll see online people are like, oh, hey, can you find me stuff from this obscure anime series? Probably not. Like, it's not that easy to find the older shit. You really have to dig.
And it's luck.
Yeah, we haven't been to Nakano Broadway yet, which is sort of where you might find that stuff. But that's kind of it. Like, if you go to Akihabara expecting to find vintage merchandise from some 15-year-old anime, not going to happen.
No.
Like, I was looking around for any Bakano toys. Any figures or anything?
I'm not sure there were
any. I don't think they made any, because I haven't seen a single scrap of merchandise for that show.
No.
There's nothing for Jirara either, so, no. I mean...
Not a thing.
I guess it's just, I don't know, maybe the audience for those shows just doesn't buy toys, but...
Yeah, I have an easier time finding Urusei Yatsura stuff than I do Bakano stuff.
Yeah. Maybe not kind of Broadway, I'll have something. Maybe I'll head over there before we leave.
Probably not.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I've been there. We went there last year.
Right.
So there was that, and then we went to Otome Road, which is not a road.
No, it's a corner.
Yeah, it's a corner.
A corner with 4 small shops, most of which are too crammed to breathe.
And 10,000 teenage girls.
Right, all looking at us kind of askance.
Mm. Yeah, I haven't really felt that out of place in a long time.
I kind of felt the imaginary daggers in my back as I walked in.
Yeah, that was an interesting experience. I mean, I knew it existed. I just didn't think it was that stereotypically, like, cramped and crowded. And
it is a cramped, stuffy doujinshi store packed with shelves and shelves and shelves of, like, you know, Prince of Tennis characters covered in goo.
Right. God. Yeah, it was not, it was okay. But that we went into that awful Animate store.
Ugh. I couldn't get more than two levels up. I couldn't take any more.
Lucked out and found our way onto an empty elevator and made it up to the seventh floor. And for some reason, there was something happening on the sixth floor, like a special item release or something. And the little line was like a half an hour and filled the entire level. So we had to keep getting lucky with the elevator to get us back down and out of the store. It was really bad. Really unpleasant.
One thing about nerd culture that people in the States kind of lose track of, I think, is how small scale it is here.
Yeah.
I mean, you photographed that one Trigun poster. That will probably be like in two theaters in the country.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, a big successful DVD release here sells 50,000 units.
Right.
These are really, really low numbers, and partially why everything is so expensive here, because it's the only way to, you know, to make enough money to make stuff. Because
if you can get 2,000 people to pay $80 for $80 a piece for 8 Blu-rays of a series or whatever.
Yeah, you've made your money.
Yeah, you've made some money, and there's just enough people that are willing to do it. We were last night we went to Akihabara, and it was the only thing that was still open was like this big Gamers. Mm. Gamers is like stereotypical otaku store.
Yeah.
Like you walk in, it is wall to wall girls flipping your skirts and posing, and there's half of it's porn, the other half is basically porn, except it's not porn.
Right.
And there was just a
whole
sea
floor of arrow guy.
Yeah, there was an ocean of dudes in there, you know, buying their porn comics and buying their gachapon of, you know, the moe characters flipping their skirts and posing and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tiny when you're in there. It feels really small, and it's like, well, they've figured out a way to maximize the money potential of that industry and those people, and they've maxed out the audience and they've maxed out what they can get out of it.
Right.
They figured out a way to completely see that to its you know, upper limit, but it's still tiny. You're still talking about 2,000 people, you know, 3,000 people.
I wonder if they ever. I mean, I did speak at some points of my career to Japanese businessmen that thought that they could, you know, make that a big national thing in the U.S.
Otaku culture?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No. Nor would I want it to be.
No, it's got its place. I mean, there are people who are into it, and that's totally cool. But it's never going to be mainstream to the point where it's doing like mainstream American numbers, where it's millions of people. You know, that's just not going to happen.
K-On! Is not Avatar.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is not, but it's fucking everywhere here.
That's true.
That is like the new, that is like, I guess season two is started or is starting soon. So that's I guess is the big push for that. That's why it's still everywhere. But it's nice at least that they have that one cash cow to drive the industry for a little while.
Well, one of the K-Books had a TV that was showing a show, and I have no idea what it is. So if someone listening to this knows what it is, please tell me. All I know is that there are these two guys having a fight, and it became a feud with squirting bottles of Coke on each other, and then it turned into throwing ramen at each other.
All right.
It was kind of amusing. I just want to know what I saw.
Maybe somebody knows. So the best thing we did was Kitty Petting Lounge. That
yes.
was the best thing that we did.
That was awesome. All 10 minutes of it.
Yeah, well, 20, technically.
Oh, right, we got charged for 20 because we stayed 11.
Yeah, right. There were a bunch of gaijin in there, other white people.
Mm-hmm.
That was it was interesting. I could see the appeal, and I don't know why people... I mean, if you put age restrictions on it and you severely limit, you know, you tell people here are the rules and you enforce the rules, that would probably be pretty popular in the U.S.
Yeah, I think it would be... It's more popular here because obviously people who have a cat... Most of them are in tiny apartments and can't have a cat.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's not really as big of a problem in the U.S.
Right.
So, I guess it's the same phenomena as love hotels.
Well, maybe not the same. I hope that it's not really the same as love hotels. That would be illegal.
And wrong.
Right, right.
And probably have a few doujinshi.
So, this week when this podcast airs, we're doing the spring preview, so keep an eye out for that. And other than that, we're pretty much going to be... This is sort of a filler podcast. We're just kind of throwing it out there just to give you something to listen to on your bike ride home or whatever. But we'll be back with a regular show the week of April the 8th, I think.
Awesome.
Whatever the week after this one is. We need a break from the show for a little bit so we can decompress after this after this trip. And if you
get over crushing jet lag.
Yeah, and if you hear it before this podcast comes out, if you hear a story of some American throwing himself off the top of the Shibuya Mark City Excel Hotel.
No, we only have one day more. You can make it.
Holding a sign that just says, I'm bored, then you'll know. It was one of us.
You know, I don't even want to see any shrines. I just don't.
I went to Umino Park yesterday, and I got my fill of that sort of thing. I mean, it was really cool. Like, the trees were all out, and everybody right. was partying.
It's almost Hanami here, but it's so close, people are just saying, fuck it, let's party anyway. But basically, when we got here, it turned freezing, so now all the trees are, like, stuck at 60%.
Yeah. It's still pretty. It's just not... I've never seen it in full bloom.
I managed the first trip to see it, and it was really, really pretty. And I shall never see it again.
Apparently. All right. Well, anyway, so...
I guess that's a podcast.
I guess that's a podcast. We'll be back with a real show in a week or two.